God bless. I was thinking as that last song was being sung how there has been a sweet, sweet spirit here this week that I have felt, and it's been here nightly. And there's no place that we prefer to be rather than where the Spirit of the Lord is. In the midst of God's people, I thank God that I have been so blessed in my life to have spent all of my life in the midst of God's people. I've always been surrounded by good Baptist, Bible-believing, sound people. Good sound preaching all my life, and surrounded by the love of God and that's manifested in His people, and the Spirit that comes to meet with us when that we meet together. And I think so many times about so much of the world that doesn't know anything about that. They don't have a clue. They don't understand what it is. And they are missing so much. We ask for your prayers tonight as we stand here again. We have enjoyed being here all week. It's just been a joy for us and to be able to be here with you folks. And our heart goes out tonight to the lost. This could be possibly the last night of the revival. I don't know that. I'm just going by the normal course of things. But it could be the last time that we'd have an opportunity to be able to say something to you out of the Word of God that we would hope would have its place in your heart and cause you to consider in a way that you've never considered before. And we would just ask for you to give us your attention for just a few minutes tonight as we look into the Word of God for the things contained there. I want to read a passage of Scripture tonight that's found in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Very familiar passage of Scripture to most of you folks, but I want to read this because this is the words of Jesus. This is the teaching that Jesus taught while He was here, and this is a parable that He gave. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We'll end our scripture reading at the 13th verse of the 25th chapter. And I would like to use for a lesson text part of the 10th verse, the last part of that verse that I read. And that part says, "And the door was shut." And I want to speak to you tonight, sinner. And I'll just entitle what I have to say, "When the door is shut." Jesus, we know, he taught in parables. Jesus taught many parables while he was here. It was a method, a means of teaching by which he spoke about earthly things, common things that was known and familiar to the people of that day. And he spoke about those things, but he was teaching spiritual things. He spoke many parables. He spoke a parable in the 7th chapter of Matthew that is, in many ways, it's very similar to the parable that we just read, because it also speaks about the wise and about the foolish. In that parable, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus spoke about two men that built their house. And Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And then he said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, sinner, you have a spiritual house. We all do. And if our house is not built upon the rock, we all know that a house that's built, the most important part of it is the part that you really never see, and that's the foundation. And Jesus said the man that built his house upon the rock was a wise man, because it would stand when the storms came and the wind blew and the rain and it beat upon it, because it was founded upon a rock. The scripture says in about the 3rd chapter, the book of 1 Corinthians, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ is the foundation of every spiritual house that will stand. And if your house is not built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, you're like the foolish man, because your house is just built upon the sands. And it will not stand when that the wind and the rain. And I pray tonight that you'll consider your spiritual house and where it stands and how it's built. And is it going to be one that will stand the test that is surely to come upon it? In the parable that we read, Jesus spoke about these 10 virgins. They were bridesmaids that was waiting for the appearing of the bridegroom. And Jesus said that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those that were wise, they went with their lamps, but they also took with them oil to supply their lamps. And Jesus said that the 5 that were foolish, they took their lamp, but they took no oil for their lamp. They took no supply of oil. And while they were waiting for the appearing of the bridegroom to come, they slumbered and they slept. But at the midnight hour, the cry came, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now, sinner, you don't know when that call is coming. You don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. And you don't know when that the death angel will be sent to get you. Jesus said that the cry came at the midnight hour to go forth to meet the bridegroom. And they all rose and they trimmed their lamps. But those that had gone forth without oil in their lamps, they said to those that had oil, they said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamp is gone out." But the ones that had brought the oil with them, they had that to keep their lamp burning. They said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you." So now I want you to realize tonight that every one of us that has been saved, we are saved to the uttermost. We're saved forever. When God saved our soul, He gave us the Spirit. And that's what keeps our lamp burning. He gave us. But we don't have enough for you. If we did, we'd gladly give you some, but we don't. We don't have enough. And so these that had the oil, they said, "Not so. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And sinner, you'll have to go. If you ever get saved this side of eternity, this side of death, you will have to go to them that sell, to the one that sells. And the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, "Come and buy without money and without price." But you will have to buy for yourself. No one can give you what you need. You'll have to get that from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then the scripture says that they that were ready went in with the bridegroom to the marriage, and the door was shut. And then afterwards, those that went to buy oil for their lamps, they came and they knocked upon the door and they said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the answer came, "I know you not. I know you not." Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, where we just read from, just before he spoke the parable of the wise man and the foolish man that built their houses. And Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I'm sure there's going to be many people that in the end they're going to say, "Lord, I sat in Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in the summer of 2008. And I sat there, Lord, every night, and I heard the sermons, Lord, and I was there among your people." But you know what he'll say? He'll say, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These that came and the door was shut. Sinner, I want you to know that when the door is shut, the door of opportunity that God has given you all week long, for 10 nights He's given you opportunity to come and hear the Word of God. And not only to hear the words that have been spoken, but to do what the words have instructed you to do. You see, hearing, that's not what it's all about. Faith cometh by hearing. You need to hear. You must hear the Word of God.
But hearing will not save you. You must do what that the Word of God sets forth before you and what the Word of God requires of you. You must do that. And that is to repent of your sins. Sin of the door is going to be shut someday. Amen. When I look at you, my heart goes out to you because I know that. I know that assuredly. I know that life is short and death is sure. And just because you may be young, listen, I work at a funeral home. You can't tell me anything about that. We see more young people today than I've ever seen before coming through the funeral homes. Many of them not even 20 years old. It's a daily thing. Their lives end. And that door someday is going to be shut for you. And when the door is shut, it will never be opened again. There'll never be no more opportunities. The door will never open again for you if you let the opportunities pass and the door is shut. It will be shut for you forever. In the book of Genesis, in the 6th chapter, the scripture speaks about in the days of Noah and how that the world was wicked. I read this many times, and sometimes I look around in the world today and it seems like that we're just about in the same place that they were then. I don't know, I wasn't there. But I know it's pretty bad today. I know there's sin everywhere openly. It's the time today where that a people don't even blush at sin. A people are not ashamed of sin anymore. But it was in the day of Noah that the scripture says that God saw the wickedness of man and how great it was, and that the imaginations of his heart was only evil continually. And God said that he would send a flood to destroy this world because the scripture says that it grieved God in his heart, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart because man had turned away from God and was so evil and so wicked. But Noah, the scripture said, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight for the grace of God. I'm thankful tonight that even in an evil and wicked world, those that will look to the Lord can still find grace. It can still find grace. He still is full of grace, and he wants to extend his grace to you that are lost tonight. Noah, the scripture said, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God told Noah to build an ark. And God had said that his spirit would not always strive with man, but his days should be 120 years. We understand that although God said he would send the flood, it was 120 years before he sent it. Now, God gave a space of time for people to repent of their sins, for people to get saved. Amen. God gave them a space of time. Noah, the scripture says, built the ark according to the plan that God gave him, and he worked on that, I guess, for 120 years. Now, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Noah was moved with fear. And he prepared this ark for the saving of his house. And having prepared the ark, and during the time that Noah was preparing the ark, I believe he was preaching the Word of God. Because the scripture says in 2 Peter 2 and 5 that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe he warned those people of his day. I believe he told them to flee from the wrath to come. But, you know, they just gave a deaf ear to what he said. I suppose they considered him to be like some folks may consider preachers today. And some folks consider it to be foolishness. But listen, it is the means that God has appointed to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. That's what it is. Noah built the ark, and he took into that ark, the scripture says, two of every kind of animal and every creature. And Noah went in himself and his wife and his three sons and their wives, and they went into the ark. And the scripture says in the 16th verse, the 7th chapter of Genesis, that they went in and the Lord shut the door. Amen. Now Noah built the ark. Noah gathered up and rounded up all of the animals that he took into the ark to replenish the earth after the flood receded. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they went into the ark. There was 8 people out of the whole world population that were saved because they were in the ark. And the scripture says that God shut the door. Amen. Noah didn't shut that door. Amen. Noah didn't shut it. God shut the door. Sinner, God's going to shut the door someday. He's going to shut the door so that you will never have another opportunity to hear the word of God. You'll never have another opportunity to be in the midst of God's people. You'll never have another opportunity to feel the loving touch of someone that loves you and has tried to persuade you to seek the Lord and put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Someday the door's going to be shut on all of that, and there'll be no more opportunity. Because in death, the scripture says that as a tree falls, there shall it lie. There's no changing it. You'll either get saved while God gives you the opportunity, while you have life and breath in your body, while you still have a right mind and you can understand the words that God speaks to you, you'll either get saved while God gives you those kinds of opportunities, or you'll die without God. You'll die without God. Sinner, I want you to know tonight that there is an open door. And there's an invitation for you to come through that door that's open tonight. The door's not closed as of right now. But before you make it home tonight, it could be. You know, I was thinking this afternoon as I was driving up the highway, I don't take anything for granted anymore. There was a time in my life when I was young, and I was like, as they say, young and dumb, and I thought I was invincible, and I thought I was strong, and I thought I was smart, and I thought I could make it on my own, but I don't take anything for granted anymore. Nothing. In the last 2 days, I've driven about 650 miles, and as I was coming up the road, and traffic was heavy, and I was thinking how that the Lord had seen me through everything this last 2 days and the miles I've driven. I haven't had any problems. Haven't even seen a wreck. That's pretty unusual. Haven't even seen a wreck. The hand of the Lord has been stretched out over me. I'll tell you what that is. That's what it is. Sinner, you don't have that tonight in your life. You don't have the hand of the Lord stretched out over you to protect your life. You don't have it. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of John, and Jesus said, I am the door. Sinner, there's a door that stands open tonight. Oh, there's a door that stands open. And Jesus says, come on in. Come on in. That's what he's saying. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's the door that's open for you tonight. That door is open. And Jesus wants you to come. Jesus wants you to come through that door with faith and by faith and enter in, that he might give to you eternal life. You see, sinner, right now, all of your light is just the light of your natural life, that's all. All you've got is just this light that's just natural life. But in death, that light is going out. It's going out. And you don't have anything. You don't have anything else. You're like the foolish virgins that went forth without oil for their lamp. And once the door is shut, it's shut. Once God shuts the door, the opportunities that you've had and that you have squandered and that you have ignored, they're gone. And when they're gone forever. I pray tonight that you would give heed to the Word of God and these things that we have tried to bring forth to you. Those words that I have tried to put in your heart tonight when the door is shut. Oh, I would to God tonight that you think about that and you would try to picture your life and when that door is shut. And no more opportunity to be saved. No more opportunity to pray. No more opportunity to seek God. Sinner, that's what you're facing tonight. I pray that you'll take advantage of this opportunity while this open door is set before you. And Jesus says, if you'll come in, he will give to you eternal life. I'd like to have a song. May God bless you tonight, sinner. Would you come while you have one more opportunity during this revival? And would you come believing with all of your heart upon the Lord and be saved?